May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So here we are, another Lent, another opportunity to buckle up and hit the nitrous to turbocharge ourselves into a deeper and more intense practice of faith. And you may have seen the link that I had forwarded on Facebook to customize what particular practice would suit you best for where you are right now during Lent. Instead of just simply giving up chocolate or deciding to reboot your New Year's resolutions. Besides, it might be better, as my wife Kelly once joked, to give up your New Year's resolution for Lent. Oh, come on, people, come on. But I would like to propose something perhaps a little bit different this year. Just as I mentioned in our annual meeting, we'll be doing a Lenten supper and small group study on the five marks of mission. These marks of mission were adopted by the Global Anglican Communion and attempt to summarize and define our corporate vocation as the church, what all followers of Christ should be about. In review, for those of you who weren't able to attend that meeting, the five marks are: 1, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom; 2, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers; 3, to respond to human need by loving service; 4, to seek to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and to pursue peace and reconciliation; and 5, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. In short, evangelism, teaching, service, justice, and creation care. As God's people called by his name into one family, one temple, one body, we need to be diligent in proclaiming the gospel, in training and supporting one another in faithful living, in meeting the needs of the least, the last, and the lost, in standing as a bright light against the evils that we encounter in our sin-darkened world, and in taking seriously our God-ordained task as stewards of the earth. As with any goal, there are ways we, whether by neglect, intent, speech, or action, that we have truly sinned. In the old archery meaning of the term, we've missed the mark. So, it's appropriate to begin our Lenten journey examining how we may have missed one or more of these five marks, both individually and corporately, as St. Francis. To varying degrees, our lectionary readings touch on all of them. First, we're to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to evangelize. As St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The essence of the gospel is that God is calling us back into a restored relationship with himself and others through Jesus Christ. Of course, many of us like the second part of that command in theory. Plenty of atheists, in fact, admire the golden rule. But the message of Christ begins with loving our Lord with our whole being, our complete energies and resources, as the first and greatest commandment. We start with loving God first, and then allow loving our neighbor flow naturally from that. So, daily, we need to rely on the work of Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection, and his continued interaction with us through the Holy Spirit. Some people, quote, get saved, and then live the sin-burdened lives that they've always lived. Other people try to, quote, be good, but find themselves spinning their wheels in the attempt to do a God-sized task with mere human effort. That's why grace is so important. It's the heart of what we preach. God not only commands us to love, he restores in us the means to do it. Second, we're to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers to train in righteousness. In the alternative Old Testament reading in Joel, the prophet Joel exhorts us, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breasts." Note the universal breadth of the people that he's summoning to this task. Note how much of a do that he is making to get people involved. Note the degree of commitment that he's asking them to give. Most churches are lucky if 10% of the members do 90% of the work. In this case, the work is showing up to learn, to nurture, to share our experience, strength, and hope, to borrow a bit from our AA brothers and sisters. Last year, a few of us went to the evangelism conference that was sponsored by our diocese, where we learned about inviting, welcoming, and connecting people to our parishes. The interesting thing to note is that the welcoming and connecting steps are less about evangelism and more about spiritual nurture. Getting people on board, then on point, and then on task. But it must involve the whole body of Christ, not just the feet or the hands or the mouths of Christ. We all need to be spurring each other's growth together. Third, we're summoned to respond to human need by loving service. Jesus makes a point of saying, "But when you give your alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." His point is not to spiritualize lack of communication and coordination, doing good just willy-nilly with no plan or purpose. He knows even in our attempts to do good, we have a tendency to pat ourselves on the back just a little bit too much. Just like the old gospel, just like the gospel message is about being restored to God first, and then to our neighbors as an overflow in service. Our goal is to please God first and to seek heavenly approval and kudos, not self-congratulations or accolades from the crowd. I might add that Jesus also isn't limiting service to just giving money either. We need to be willing to roll up our sleeves, to get our hands dirty, hobnob with people we might otherwise ignore, or perhaps worse, unwittingly hold back under the guise of that time-honored but statistically fallacious American political bootstraps philosophy. We've all benefited from the kindness of others. Nothing we have in this life is truly earned. It's all a gift from God, and it's almost always received from the hands of another person. So keep the blessings flowing. Fourth, we ought to seek to transform the unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. In other words, justice. King David, after he thoroughly repented of his affair with Bathsheba and the plausibly deniable murder of her husband, in Psalm 51, which we will read a little bit later, he offers us this nugget: "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." At first, that may seem contradictory. Would you learn how to be a law-abiding citizen from a criminal? But I think David is taking this stand not as an experienced authority of purity, but as one humbling himself as a cautionary tale. Yeah, he did wrong, serious evil. But God still forgave him and gave him the chance to start over. Therefore, rely on Jesus and try to avoid the same mistakes. But if you do mess up, remember the Lord's forgiveness is available to anyone who is truly penitent. So we strive to change hearts individually through mercy, and then by means of transformed people to suck out the systemic poisons that have infected society as a whole. Finally, we come to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth, to care for God's good creation. Back to David again, he writes, "For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." I know connecting this to creation care may at first glance seem a bit of a stretch, but David's boldly calling the divinely inspired, well-established sacrificial system unpleasing to God. Indeed, it's certainly unpleasing to need animals to sacrifice to begin with. So, God isn't excited about having a constant flow of animals dying for each person's sin. That has the potential to cause a mass extinction of cows and birds. For as broken as by sin as humanity can be, thus Jesus' oblation of himself once for all at Calvary breaks the chain of death and thus frees us to step into the role God first entrusted to us from the very beginning of creation. Because of Christ, we can now be God's representatives, spirit-filled life bringers to this amazing, beautiful, abundant gift spinning in space that brings us so much joy and supports our lives. For too long, the church has fallen into a practical Gnosticism that prefers souls over bodies, heaven to earth, forgetting that our Father in heaven plans to resurrect our whole being, soul and body, as well as bring heaven to earth when Christ returns, not simply spirit us away to some disembodied eternity up in the clouds and in the vapor. The good news is for all of creation, not just people, and certainly not just for people's souls. And until that time when heaven and earth are made one and we experience in our bodies the redemption that Jesus has already begun in our souls, we take care of the good things that God has given us, enjoying them, sharing them, being thankful for them, and securing them for those who come after us. This Lent, think about our mission as the church and your part in that mission. Have you embraced the gospel in every area of your life? Have you been proclaiming it with your life and in your words? Have you been proactive in inviting, welcoming, and connecting people to Jesus as embodied in us here at St. Francis? Have you been actively serving others in need with your time, your talents, and treasure? Have you been humbly, yet courageously speaking out against societal evils, encouraging individuals to repent, and seeking to correct those evils that are within your sphere of influence? Have you been doing your part in creation care, reducing waste, and encouraging creative reuse of resources, sharing and enjoying God's gifts gratefully, and taking care of that parcel of earth, those plants, or those precious animals entrusted to your hands? We can all do better, both as individuals and as Christ's body. This Lent, I encourage you to reconsecrate not only your spiritual practices and your purity before God, but your vocations as well. as we seek to better serve the Lord in his mission field. Let us pray. Ever-living God, whose will it is that all should come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, inspire our witness to him, that all may know the power of his forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.